Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. This podcast attempts to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like to have a Bible-related question considered for a future episode, you can email me at pastorstephendbc@gmail.com. Again, that's pastor, S-T-E-V-E-N, D-B-C, at gmail.com. In this episode, we're going to continue our series of podcasts that are related to angelology or the doctrine of angels. This is the fourth in the series. So if you'd like to listen to the previous ones, you'll find them in episode 7, 8, and 9. Now, as I've said, most of what we know about angels comes from pop culture. However, in this series of podcast, we are looking at what the Bible has to say about angels. So go grab your Bibles and let's get started. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be looking specifically at what are some of the names and classifications of angels. Again, what are some of the names and classifications of angels? We've looked at so far in the series of podcasts a variety of topics with angels. They're created beings, they're spirit beings, they are distinct from human beings, and some of the ministries we saw in the previous episode. But today we're going to look at getting an idea of some of the general names and classifications for angels, but then we'll also look at some specific categories and names of angels. So the first question we're going to look at is, what are some of the general names and general classifications of angels? Now, the word angel itself simply means messenger or one who is sent or speaks for another. So that would be the general understanding of it. And the word is used in a general way. For example, Romans 8:38 uses angels or angel in a general way. But some more specific ones, and these are general, meaning they're not as specific as some of the ones we'll look at. Lord of Host, H-O-S-T-S. Host basically refers to armies, so the Lord of the armies. And this is referring to the angelic armies of heaven that are of the Lord. For example, you can find this reference on this in Luke chapter 2, verse 13. So again, the Lord of Hosts or the Lord of Armies, some translations refer to that, but host meaning army. So there is a group of angels that are referred to as the angelic armies of heaven. So Luke 2:13, for example. I do want you, though, to turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 4, Daniel chapter 4. And we're going to specifically look at verses 13 through 17. Daniel chapter 4 is Nebuchadnezzar's humbling, is the way I like to see it. But what you're going to see in this set of verses is what is called a watcher, or an angelic watcher. I'm going to read Daniel 4, verse 13. I was looking in the visions in my mind, and as I lay on my bed, and behold, an angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven. So that's Daniel chapter 4, verse 13. And what you see there is the idea of an angelic watcher or a watcher. You'll also see this down in verse 17. Notice, this sentence is by decree of the angelic watchers, and the decision is a command of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows on it whom he wishes and sets over it the lowliest of men. So here, one type of general category is what are called the watchers or angelic watchers. Renald Schauers, in his book on angels, says about the watchers, quote, "These angels watch over the affairs of God, making sure that his commands are put into effect. That's a very good way of saying it. Again, Ronald Showers in his book on angels says, "These angels, the watchers, watch over the affairs of God, making sure that his commandments are put into effect." So we've seen, of course, the angel, the word in its general usage, the Lord of hosts or armies, the watchers, these group of angels, make sure his commands are put into effect. Another type is, in general terms, are what are called the sons of God or the morning stars. You'll find this in Job 38 in verse 7. In Job 38:7, you have a reference to the sons of God, sometimes referred to as well equally, some interpreters, and I believe it's correct, in verse 7 as morning stars. So in Job 38, God begins to speak after Job's friends give their opinions and so forth for the bulk of the book. But then God speaks and, in a sense, rhetorically asks, you know, where were you, Job, when I created all of the things that are in existence? But you'll notice in verse 7, it says, "When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy." And so, like I said, most interpreters take both sons of God and morning stars just based on the way the Hebrew grammar rules are that they are equivalent to one another. So angels can sometimes be referred to as morning stars or sons of God. You'll see this also in Job chapter 1, verse 6. So again, if you look in Job chapter 1 and verse 6, you'll see this. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came along with them." And again, it's used in Job chapter 2 and verse 1. So sometimes angels are referred to as morning stars or sons of God, and in a more general way. The last one is one that is fascinating, and it deals with principalities, rulers, authorities, and powers. I want you to turn with me to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're going to look at a few verses. Ephesians 1:21. Again, Ephesians 1:21, "Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come." Again, in Ephesians 3:10, "So that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." And then again, lastly, in Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness," note, "in the heavenly places." Charles Ryrie writes about this. These words, principalities, indicate an order of angels, both good and evil, involved in governing the universe. Authorities likely emphasizes the superhuman authority of angels and demons exercised in relation to the affairs of the world. Charles Ryrie with that particular quote. You'll also see a comparison to this in Colossians 1:16, 2:10, and 2:15. So what we have, and you notice this in particular in Ephesians 6:12, is that there is a battle that is going on, if you will, behind the veil, behind the curtain, and it's a spiritual battle. And you'll also notice the context of Ephesians 6 is the armor of God. One of the reasons we need to put on the full armor of God to defend ourselves, if you will, against the evil forces, against the evil one, is because that is the battle that is really waging on. For example, we think and we look out at the geopolitical world or just the world in general, and what is really going on behind the veil, you might say, is a spiritual battle, as Ryrie alludes to, and such. And so we need to take and put on the full armor of God so that we can stand firm against the evil one Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and may we do that as well. And of course, I would encourage you to take some time to read the armor of God passage that typically ends in verse 17 of Ephesians 6. But I would also encourage you to note verses 18 and 19, where it speaks of, after putting on the armor of God, undergirding ourselves with prayer. So having a look at some more general categories, classifications, and names of angels, are there any specific ones? So what we're going to look at here in the second question is, who are the cherubim? Again, that's who are the cherubim, and that's C-H-E-R-U-B-I-M. I want you to turn your Bibles to Genesis 3:24. Again, that's Genesis 3:24. Genesis chapter 3, in many ways, a hinge in the Bible where we see the fall of man described after the account of creation. This is at the ending of the chapter after man has fallen, judgment has been issued and such. And we see the man and the woman, of course, we know to be Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve leave and are headed out of the garden. They are cast out. And you'll notice in verse 24, so he drove the man out, he meaning the Lord. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim, you notice, and the flaming sword which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. And so you'll see that there is a specific type of angels that are called cherubim. You can also find this in Exodus 25, verses 17 through 22. And it's also mentioned several times in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 5 through 24. And again, Ezekiel 10, 1 through 22. Now, ordinarily, these are seen as the highest rank of the angelic beings. For example, if you look in the Exodus passage, you'll see that there were two on top of the mercy seat in relation to the Ark of the Covenant. So again, in Exodus chapter 25, you'll see in verse 19, for example, it says, make one cherubim at one end and one at the other end. And you'll see in relation to the mercy seat in verse 20, the cherubim shall have their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And facing one another, the faces of the cherubim are to be turned towards the mercy seat. So there you see where that specific type of angel is related to the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Now, before we move on from this, one interesting passage you'll find, I did give you some Ezekiel passages, but if you look in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 28, in verse 14, many interpreters, and I would be one of those who interpret Ezekiel 28, verse 14 to be speaking of Satan, Lucifer. If that is the case, and as I said, I believe that is, you will notice in Ezekiel 28, verse 14, you were the anointed cherub, C-H-E-R-U-B, who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. And of course, if you keep reading through this, typically what you'll have is some interpreters, as I said, I do, take this to be a description of Satan. And if so, then Satan was an anointed cherub, as you see in verse 14 of Ezekiel 28. And basically what we see with them is that their basic function is to protect the holiness of God. And the holiness of God is something that we see throughout the scripture, not simply in the beginning, but throughout. For example, if you were to look in the book of Revelation in chapter 4, you'll find that John, after being taken up and seeing a scene of heaven, the throne and the worship of the Creator, in Revelation 4:8, you'll notice, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. So an easy way to remember cherubim is to be reminded of one of their functions, which is to protect the holiness of God. Now for the third question, we're going to look at who are the seraphim? So this would be a more specific category by name of angels. And there's some similarities to the cherubim, but this is the seraphim. And that is spelled S-E-R-A-P-H-I-M. I want you to turn in your Bibles to probably a familiar passage, which is Isaiah chapter 6. Again, Isaiah chapter 6. Now, in this passage, Isaiah chapter 6, this is Isaiah's vision, and he is seeing the Lord exalted, lofty, and on his throne. But you'll notice in verse 2, there is the mention of the seraphim. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Such a great passage there. But you can continue to read verse through verse 7 there, but this is the passage where, for instance, in verse 6, the burning coal is given to Isaiah, but you'll notice in verse 6 that it comes from the seraphim who do that. Now, the seraphim means burning ones, and it tells of, many interpreters take it to be, that it reminds us of the burning devotion that they have to the Lord. So again, there's some similarities with the cherubim in relation to the worship of God. Here you see their attention to the throne of God, the covering of God's presence as well. So those are two more specific type of angels, the cherubim and the seraphim. We see those a lot in the Old Testament passages we looked at. But before we conclude in our fourth and final question, we're going to look at some specific names of angels in the Bible. Now in the Bible, there are angels that are given names, and we know of four. So again, not to be confused, there are classifications, there are generalities, general categories for angels, but we do have some names. Lucifer, there's also Apollyon or Abaddon, but two in specific that we want to look at are Gabriel and Michael. So again, there's four named: Lucifer, Apollyon, sometimes called Abaddon, but then we have Gabriel and Michael. Now, Michael is referred to as the archangel, and we find Michael throughout the scripture in various places. You'll find Michael as a servant, clearly of the Lord, as the archangel. And you can see this in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 10, verse 21, and also at the end of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. But let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 16 in relation to Michael. So that's 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Now this passage is probably familiar to you. It's a detailed description of the rapture. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, you see where "for the Lord himself will descend from heaven and with a shout," it's a cry of command, "with the voice of," notice, "the archangel and the trumpet of God." And the archangel there is typically thought of as to be Michael, the archangel. You'll also see in Jude verse 9. Now Jude, if you need an easy way to find it, turn to Revelation chapter 1, and it's the short, brief book letter right before Revelation 1. It's so short it really is only, if you will, one chapter. So Jude verse 9 says, "But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil, and argued about the body of Moses did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." So we see Michael there, the archangel, and that's a specific name, a specific title, if you will, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, Jude 6, and as well as in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 10, verse 21, and as I said, verse 1 of chapter 12. You'll also see Michael in Revelation chapter 12 in verse 7. Now for our final specific named angel, Gabriel. Gabriel means hero of God. And one of the things that you'll notice about Gabriel, and it's a good way to distinguish between Michael and Gabriel, is that Gabriel brings specific messages from God to people. So for example, you see this in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 16, and then again in chapter 9 and verse 21. Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, Gabriel is the one who in fact answers, if you will, the prayer. God answers Daniel's prayer and sends Gabriel, and Gabriel brings him what we call the 70th week of Daniel prophecy. So that's in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 21 in the verses that follow. You'll also see Gabriel in relation to the birth narratives of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and you'll find that in Luke chapter 1 in verse 19, for example. So again, Gabriel being one of the specifically named angels in the Bible. Well, that concludes today's episode. We've looked at some general names and classifications of angels, Lord of Hosts, Watchers, and such. We've seen that they're also cherubim, seraphim, but also the Lord does have some specifically named angels, Michael, Gabriel, but also Lucifer and Apollyon. Be sure to tune in next time as we'll continue our look at the doctrine of angels, angelology. Until then, may God bless you.